very busy. I mean, running a beauty school and a restaurant and being very involved in politics. What pulled you into the political situation? Was it, did you want statehood and think it would, things would be better off, or were you just one of these energetic people that wanted to be involved in a lot of things?
Well, Senator Bartlett got my husband, and he asked my husband why the black people didn't get in the political clubs. And so we joined, and then he still got on us, Ralph Rivers and Senator Bartlett got on us, and they, as a rule, don't give out the joining cards unless you come to a meeting, but they gave my husband and I, and we went out in the South End and got a lot of people to join by having the registration cards, mm-hmm. and that's how it, we got them started in June. And I knew his wife too, and Ralph Rivers and his wife Martha. I knew Egan and his brother from Valdez. And so I was quite active until about 74, 75, then I quieted down. I just kind of got out of it.
Well, you are getting on, and I imagine that sometimes you get a little tired. Even now, you've got so many special people here that you love very much and love you very much. You know, you're always talking about your Alaskan sons and
daughters.
So many daughters, more sons.
I got a lot of daughters too. Yeah, I have a lot of daughters too.
Well, I noticed that twinkle in your eyes.
Don't put my daughters down. I have nice daughters, and Michiko especially. She's one, the one that does my sewing, and she's been my daughter for over 20 years.
Do you think that you would have made such close friendships wherever you were? Or is Alaska a special place for making friends?
No, I've always had a lot of friends, yes. I guess I'm that type to make friends, you know. And I get letters from everywhere, and a lot of the kids went from school and went to different towns and different states. Sometimes the phone ring and they said, Eva, telephone, and it's one of them from somewhere in another state calling me, just thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? Are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm fine. Now, as far as my daughter, my daughter will be, she says she's 52. So she's a big girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I guess so.
Yeah, and my grandson is 18, my granddaughter is 16. She brought my grandson up when he was 11 months old, and she told her husband, and she was pregnant again, and she told her husband, she said, well, I gotta take him so she can see him, because I seen him when, right after he come out of the hospital. She had been home 10 minutes when I rang the doorbell coming from Chicago, from a Democrat convention where I was on that rules committee.
Mm-hmm.
And she was only home 10 minutes when I rang the doorbell.
Speaking of that, getting back to, why were you in favor of statehood?
Well, one of the things, I lived on the corner of Wendell and Hall, and my house from them dirt roads was so dirty from the dust.
Oh, yeah.
So the state, the territory, we had two paved streets from Nova Street to Barnett, and from the bridge to 12th Street. All the rest was dirt roads.
Mm-hmm.
Especially living on that corner, I could hardly open my window to get any air.
So you thought that you'd get more federal funds. Alaska would get federal funds, right?
Yeah. To And even after I got the restaurant in, now this is way up in 53, it still wasn't paved and they had put the bridge in. And when I got ready to open the restaurant up in the evening, even though I had concrete all around the building and an awning over the front of the building and a walk out to the sidewalk, it would be so dusty I could hardly open my door. So I would call the water department of the city and I said, I can't open my door for all this dust. And they would come bring the water wagon and water right in front of my place and leave.
They must have liked you. If you were to sort of say to somebody from your wise years of 75, is that how old you were?
I'm 78.
78, my goodness. Okay, you don't look like you're 78. But what would you say to you as somebody sort of starting out now?
Well, it's so different now. Everybody knew everybody then.
Mm-hmm.
All the judges knew you. Everybody knew you because my husband and I had worked in the public so much,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially working in nightclubs and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Everyone knew us. And even when we got married, we were going to keep it a secret, and he's the first one that told it.
So when you look back on your life, especially your life in Alaska, you feel it was pretty good?
Yeah, the only thing I regret, I got arthritis in Alaska.
Oh, do you think that could have happened anywhere?
Well, I don't think in Chicago, because as a rule, I lived in steam heated apartments,
mm-hmm.
you know. Seeing now on Wendell Street, I had a furnace, and first it was oil, and then I put in a coal stoker. No, I put in coal where you shovel it in the furnace, and sometime at night you go to sleep and it get low and it get cold, and what ladies go through, you get out from under the cover, and I think that's the way I got it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. you know. So, but the good Lord has been good to me. I have had good health so far, and in all my years, I was in the hospital 2 times, 14 days in Chicago where I had an operation, and 6 days here where I had a cold and I fell on the ice in 48, and I have a slipped disc and it settled in my back. So 14 and 6, 20 days in a hospital in 78 years. And still, when my daughter came up for my 75th birthday, I went before she got here and had a general examination. And on Monday, I told her I wanted her to go to clinic with me. I didn't tell her I had it and to go with me. And so I introduced her to Dr. Strasma, and I told him I wanted her in the room when I went in and to get the results by her being an RN, you know. So he took my blood pressure and he took test my heart and so forth. And while I was getting dressed, they were talking, and he said, well, this is the third time your mother come to me, and I thought I should just give her a general overall examination just to know just mm-hmm. what was going on in her body. And then he finally told her everything came out okay, you know. And she said, I knew she pulled through it. I knew, just like I was sitting over there like I'm some little kid or mm-hmm. something, you know. Mm-hmm. They ain't told me, well, it was okay, you know. So.
What were some real highlights of your life? When you look back now, is there anything maybe you didn't think it was so special or now looks like a real highlight?
Well, I think all of my life has been exciting
mm-hmm.
in different phases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I worked with the Democrat Party, that was enlightening and so forth. And and I was all the offices I hold. I was on the Central Committee, and I was on the State Central Committee.
Mm-hmm. In other words, we were very involved all the
time.
Yeah,
and then when I worked with the beauticians, I was vice president, I think around 67, and I beat an outgoing president for vice president. He was outgoing and I beat him, and he was running against me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was president, and I was on the Ways and Means Committee. I was on the board of directors and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And just like now, they've called me here lately to be on the board of directors of the Senior Citizens, but I told them I'd be glad to do it if the meetings were at night.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, maybe we can work it out. And then she called me back and she said, well, we have 2 meetings a month at noon time. Well, I can't leave my school to go because you're serving is gratis, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I always put my business and my living in the front of anything,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that. But I was on one of the members for the delegation in Anchorage for senior citizens for aging.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to go to Washington, D.C. because so many people in Anchorage and so few people from Fairbanks that I didn't know that many in Anchorage, and I got voted down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no regrets. And then during my lifetime as in a political party, I met Rockefeller, and I read a lot of the presidents that was running. I have Christmas cards from Kennedy. I have Christmas card with his picture and Jackie's picture and
mm-hmm.
and the kids on it. I have an invitation to John Kennedy's inauguration among my memoirs. I have one from Johnson in my memoirs. I have a speech of the Kennedy's inauguration speech. I've never framed it, so
mm-hmm.
I have lots of things, you know, to remember.
Well, yes, most of the time when we've been talking, I have really noticed how you felt that most of your life was pretty happy.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah, it was.
Do you feel that you yourself, personally, by your attitude, made your life very happy? I mean, you made the best of whatever came along, or how would you phrase that?
Well, I look at it this way. I was born in Little Rock, Arkansas, which Arkansas at that time was prejudiced state,
yeah.
you know. And I was raised in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
where we had mixed schools, so
mm-hmm.
there was no prejudice, you
mm-hmm.
know. So every person was taught, you're as good as the next one,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there wasn't any, you know, Jim Crow things that the kids couldn't
mm-hmm.
go to. We did have fights, you know, because I know I went to one school and then we had to go over to another school to take cooking and the boys to take manual training. And we would get in fights with the kids, and the boys would with the kids over there, but that's just kids. Yeah, that's kids. So I was raised that you always think you're as good as the next person,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know. So I've never looked at it like some people who were raised in the South, see, because I wasn't.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking of you, in a sense, as being black when I asked that question. I mean,
mm-hmm.
these are not black-related questions. I guess I see, I don't see your color, and I think, especially with you and maybe with a lot of people, it's secondary to being a woman. I would think you might come into more discrimination just being a woman than being a black. And is that been your experience? Or maybe one doesn't, do you think the discrimination is in part attitude?
Well,
it isn't everywhere. I don't mean that.
That's just like in Chicago, I went one time. When I got tired of doing beauty work, I used to work on soda fountains and cashiers and drugstores. And this fella had 8 drugstores. So I went in a drugstore one day, and it was a warm summer day, and it was a boy working behind the counter, and I had a soda. So I said, I was married then too, and I had told my husband I was going out and find a job, because my first husband was a chauffeur, and he chauffeured for rich people, you know. Well, lots of times during the summer vacation, they go on a vacation and he'd have to drive them. Mm-hmm. So I was home alone. So I told him I was going to get a job. So when I went in this drugstore, it's called the Mersky Drugstores in Chicago, and he had 8 drugstores. So I asked this fella, do you ever use any girls on the fountain? So he said, yeah, can you do fountain work? And I said, yes, I can do fountain work. So he said, well, he's over at such and such a store. Was right up the street from the one where I was. So I went up there to see him. So he had just hired a new boy, was behind the counter. And he was packing ice cream. And you know them paper cartons, if you just keep pushing them, they'll budge, you know. So he said to me, are you experienced? I said, yes. He said he was experienced, but look how he's budging that ice cream carton. Yeah. I said, well, I wouldn't say I was experienced if I wasn't experienced. So he told me to come in, and I worked for the Mersky Drugstores for a long time. And then every time I wanted a raise, there was a confectionery store across the street, had a lunchroom. On across from me was a hotel, and on the other corner across from the confectionery was a drugstore. If he wouldn't give me a raise, I'd quit, go across the street. So one day, the little manager in there, the boss come in and said, where's Eva? He said, she quit. He said, she's working across the street. He said, why did she quit? He said, she asked for a raise and you told us to keep the budget down. He said, you just was to give it to her because you ain't got no customers in here. So then I went across the street and a couple of checks bounced on me, theirs. So then I went over to the other drugstore. So I just switched around to the drugstore, you know. But he would always hire me back, Mr. Mersky. And then I came to California. That when I got tired of doing beauty work, I'd work in the drugstore or I'd wait table. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd wait table. And then I had worked in a hotel when I was doing school vacation when I was 14, and had worked in a pantry shop, a pastry shop, and I was a coffee girl. And I worked as off of the lobby of the hotel, which was a big hotel. Oh, about 25 stories. Mm-hmm. And a fast lobby like that, cooking pancakes and waffles. At 14, you had to be pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
And so I could do beauty work, I could wait table, I could work on fountains and all of that.
So you felt you could sort of handle anything anywhere. And you had a lot of confidence.
Yeah. Because I know one time I went to see about a job as a maid in a dancing school, like checking coats. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of girls there, and I would talk to all of them and got the job. All I did was when they come in, they paid for dancing lessons, and the girls would take them and teach them what kind of dancing they want. And I checked the coat, and then when they come, I'd check it out, and I'd get a tip. Plus my salary, so I always did good. And then I went one time when I still wanted to dance. They had I was waiting table on 35th Street, and there was a big cabaret across the street, and they had an ad in the paper. They wanted so many girls for a chorus line for a new nightclub they was open. So I would wait table and see the girls going in there, and I worked a split shift. I worked from 7 to 2. Then I was off from 2 to 5, and I come back at 5 and work from 5 to 7 to dinner, you know. So one day I said, I'm going to go over there during my break, you know. So I dressed up that morning, wore a nice dress and everything, and I weighed about 116, 118 pounds, you know. And I dressed up real nice, and I went over there. And you know, I got in the first group.
Did you ever think of dancing when you had your restaurant here? After all this, did you ever think of getting some gals together doing some?
No, no. Mm-mm.
Those days were over?
Yeah. I got in the first group, and they didn't rehearse till around, see, because people that work nights, they never get up to 1 or 2 o'clock, you know, because they work all night. So then the way I was off from 2 to 5 was just the time. And I went over there and I rehearsed with them and got in the first group, the one that was going to open for that nightclub over there. And God, they had some step where you'd be dancing and you go down on the floor on your hands and turn over and get up all in that same tune with the music. See, now if I'd have been trained at that, I would have been all right. That's when I quit. So then after then, I went and took some dancing, few dancing lessons from a lady. And then when I went to California, that's when I got with the show. Mm-hmm. And so I did what I wanted to do. I danced, and then I didn't want to dance. And then I took beauty work, and everybody said, "You like beauty work?" I said, "No, I don't like beauty work. It's a job." Mm-hmm. And when I do anything, I put my best effort in it, you know? Mm-hmm. And as far as the teacher, the supervisor, after I went to California and I took a too much brush up to take this California State Board and I passed, she asked me to take a teacher's course. And I said, I asked her how much it was. And that was in 1940. She said $250. So I said, well, I'm living with my sister and her husband and she's paying for me to go to school. My sister was operator too. So my sister told me to go to and take the brush up and then I could teach her, you know, what it was. And so I went home and I told my sister and she said, would you like to take it? And I said, not particular. So she said, well, you know you wanted to be a doctor, a woman's specialist.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But my mother didn't have the money, and my mother and father were separated. And the only way then, you had to work your way through school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty hard. There was no grants or nothing like that. My mother wanted me to be a nurse, and I said, no, I don't want to be no nurse, you know. I wanted to be a woman's specialist, a doctor, you know. So I didn't have that. That was really what I wanted to be. So then my sister says, well, you wanted to be a doctor, and when you got out of high school, I was working and married, and I should have helped you. She said, now, if you want to take the teacher's course, I'll pay for it. And she said, at least you won't have to ask anybody anything about beauty work, you know. So when I went back to school the next day, Mrs. Thulin was her name. She said, what did your sister say? And I said, she said she didn't have any money. So she
didn't want to take it.
So she said, I tell you what I do. If you take it and put in $600, I'll give it to you. So I got it for nothing. So my sister said, you don't like California, but every time you come to California, you get something. first time you come, you got a trip to the Orient and the Far East. Now this time you come back and you get to teach us education free. And when I came to Alaska, I came to Alaska because I didn't like California. Mm-hmm. And I even bought a home with my sister and her husband. And I told her I didn't like California. So she said, well, I said, why don't you and your husband buy the home? She said, well, we don't have enough money. So I said, okay. She said, at least if you don't like California, you will have a home always to come to. So then my sister and her husband got a divorce. They had half of the home and I had the other half, see. So then my sister got a divorce and she got her husband's half. And then we bought another house and it was going through escrow and she was going through a divorce and they stopped it and they put it in my name. See, the rest of the property was in my name. So that was that. So, and then my sister told me when you come to Alaska, she said, if you want to stay, as long as you send some money home on the bills, you can stay. So I sent some money home. We paid for the home and the furniture. This furniture was in our living and was in our home outside.
Well, that sounds like... I think that's the mic. I'm going to see how this is recording and then we can just go ahead. Oh, there's the mic there. That'll do. That's now you're recording. I just forgot to press the right button. So go ahead now and I'll...
Why don't you have your tea?
Okay, let's sit here. And you can see, let's just sit here. And you can, I'll have my water and stuff and get a pen and you go ahead. The part where we left off when we were taping, you sort of just come to Alaska and you'd been in Anchorage and you'd just come to Fairbanks and you'd bought this little house and you were running a rooming house and a boarding house and then you, from there, you opened up a shop in one room of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you went on. There are a few things, when I listened to that tape, and I thought it was great. And I just sort of wanted to carry on from there.
No, you didn't stand. No.
So just sort of, the thing, and a couple of questions I wanted to ask you, which maybe I'll interject in here, is I guess as you look back on your life now, is there anything you would have changed?
Mm-mm.
Nothing, eh? No. Just be this, your ordinary self from beginning to end. That's just great. I think and a few things too I was interested in. When I listened to the other gal's tape, you'd say how difficult it was to get a job when you came to Fairbanks. So, and it was so difficult to get a job that you couldn't get one, so you went in business for yourself, which
yeah.
I think was pretty good. Do you think that, sort of, if I said, do you feel that Alaska shaped you and made you a certain way, would you feel that was applicable to you, or?
No, I don't think that, because I was in business before I came here.
Yes, you went in business by yourself in California, too.
No,
yeah.
My sister and I had
uh-huh.
a beauty shop.
Yeah.
So I was always in business and helping myself, you know.
All the way along.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So being rejected by the beauty shops, they just wasn't used to a black girl knowing how to do Caucasian work and black work,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel no offense against it. They just said they didn't need anyone, so I forgot it, you know. And I even went to the employment office, and they all always wanted to give me a job doing housework for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that I didn't like to do housework. I do my own, but I didn't like to do that.
Even, yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. See, and I opened a shop. But I did do some days' work before I opened the shop. I worked for some I worked for the Independent Lumber Company, and I cleaned their office. And Mr. Ferguson, the biggest shareholder, lived there, and he had a room there, so I would do his room in his bathroom, you know. And then I worked for Maisie Studdard, and she's in the Pioneer Home now. And I worked for...
This was just to tide you over, was it?
Yeah. And then I worked for some insurance man. I can't think of his name. I'd go clean his apartment. I had about four people then. I worked for...
Was that before you had the rooming house or after?
No, I had the rooming house then, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did it in my spare time.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And then I worked for... Stoker's auntie, Marion something, Wagner, I think it was, Marion Wagner. And then one day I was, Mrs. Studdard had went on a vacation, and when she was gone, I always general house cleaned the house, you know, including the walls, and it was in May, and it was hot. But that day, I opened the beauty shop, beauty school.
You opened the beauty school?
Yeah, but that was, I had the beauty shop before in my home.
But what year was that?
Let's see, I got married again in 53, and I had the beauty shop when I got married, and I bought the house in 1948. It was at Wendell and Hall, 127 and a half Wendell Street. And my husband was a cook, a merchant seaman, and he was a cook. So I still had the beauty shop, and then I bought a building from George Nervous, used to be, have the Ford Company at 2nd and Noble Street. His office, and he had it jacked up, and I bought the building and had it moved down to on Wendell Street on my lot, and I put a restaurant in it.
Oh, that was when you started the restaurant.
Yeah, I put a restaurant in it. So then my husband and I, we run the restaurant for a long time, and then after we run the restaurant for a long time. In 1959, we had the restaurant in 53 when I shoved it in there. And in between 53 till we got up to 59, I applied for a liquor license for the restaurant because we served barbecue and oriental food. And I got turned down.
Why was that? Do you have any idea?
Well, the chief of police okayed it, but then it had to go through the city council. And the first time it came up, they had five council members. And I remember Lindy with the grocery store, he was on the council. And he was not there that meeting. He was out entertaining some French consul that had come here, you know. So, and Mrs., I can't think of her name. She's an old lady. She used to be mayor a long time ago. And she lives over off of Minnie Street. But anyway, she was on the council. And, when I got turned down, I got up and asked them, could I speak on it? And they said yes. And I said, well, I don't think it's fair that you should turn someone's liquor license down when all council members are not present. So Dixie Hall was the clerk of the courts, and you had to go through him and pay your fee. So I told him about it, and he said, Eva, I'll put it in again for the same money, and you go again. So then I got turned down again. So I just let it go at that. So my husband and I, we started, the talk of the town was right out where Airport Road runs in there through Cushman. There was a nightclub there, and it was the biggest nightclub here. So they came in, the guys that had it came in and propositioned my husband and I for us to take the restaurant there. So, close, I asked what they was going to charge me, you know. And so, anyway, we got the restaurant with no rent.
Oh.
Because we had to buy the food and we had to buy our oil for the stove, one of those big cook stoves, and our business license and all that. So we opened the restaurant. And we had it in the talk of the town for the long time. And then the Village Bar built on, and they put in a restaurant. And the owner of that place came and got me and wanted me to set up his restaurant.
You were one of the few people that had the experience and know how to do that. Is
yeah.
That right? Yeah, good.
So my husband stayed at the talk of the town with a waitress, and I went to the village and set up the village restaurant, you know. And so then after I got it all set up and was working and hired another girl, we had two shifts. So they was open 24 hours, so it made it 12-hour shifts, and it was pretty rough. So then I split the shifts up to three shifts and worked 8-hour shifts, you know. Then it was a fella came in, used to have a restaurant right there by the, what's that, McKinley, not McKinley Bank, First Federal, right in there. We used to call this place the Greasy Spoon. So he didn't, it had burnt. And he was out of a job, so he came in there one day, and I asked him, where are you working? So he said, I'm not doing anything. And I says, why don't you go and ask the boss if you can have this restaurant? I don't want it. I'm just set it up for him, and I'm staying here till he gets someone to run it, you know. So he went and talked to him, and he got it. So then I went back to the talk of the town. So then after we pulled out of the talk of the town, my husband went up north for the Alaska Freight Line and in charge of two cook shacks for the guys that were hauling stuff up there for the Dew Lines and the Nicky sites, you know. And so we, I helped him with all the supplies he needed to supply these two cook shacks. And he went up, and then I had the shop at home. I worked in the shop at home. And then Tommy Luce, she was on the board. And I had to move the shop out of my house in the South End and a regular little shop, you know. So then she came to me and she said, why don't we open a school? I said, well, why don't you open a school? Well, I don't have an instructor's license. I said, well, what makes you think I can open one? Because I know you got an instructor's license. So I said, I really don't want a shop, a no school. Well, I think it would be a nice thing for Fairbanks. So she talked me into it.
And what year was that?
This was in 59. So I wrote up all the stuff for the school, because when I first came here in 46, I had wrote about opening a beauty school, and they had no laws governing And then Agnes Burns came to Anchorage, and she opened one and got her a lawyer and made them make some laws.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Agnes Burns opened the first school in Anchorage, and I opened the second one in Fairbanks, and I've had it ever since. And this is 84 from 59, see. So that's a long time to have a school.
Mm-hmm.
So we opened the school, and I taught all the theory and the practical, and my partner, she only taught practical. She didn't have a license, but she could be an apprentice instructor mm-hmm. under me until she took the examination, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then she took the examination and she got her license. So I still had the shop in the house. I had give the one up out in the south end, but I had never took the furniture out of the one I had at home. So what we did when we first opened the school, we put in so much, and you know, to furnish it, and we didn't take any money out of the school until Christmas. We would take a lump sum out, you know. So what we did, she had a beauty shop. There was a building there on 2nd Street where that pawn shop is.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in that building in front. The music store was downstairs, and she was upstairs as a cut and curl beauty salon. And then it was an apartment up there. She lived up there, and I had the beauty shop in there where that pawn shop is on 2nd Street, but I had to enter from 3rd, called the Gilcher Building. So I used to work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And she would work Thursday and Friday. And she would do books, so that gave us mm-hmm. both 3 days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I would work in my shop at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday, she had 3 girls working for her. So she would work in her shop on she had Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we worked it. And then every Christmas, we would take out a lump sum. And so it went on. And the first month that I started with 5 girls, and I didn't take a customer for 30 days. Because I had to train those mm-hmm. girls what mm-hmm. to do, you know. And then after then, they were busy. They used to do a couple of permanents a day, and that was good for, you know, beginners. And then it got so that Tommy, she had a little drinking problem. She was a little nipper mm-hmm. in her coffee, you know. And she was a lovely person and an honest person, but that was her only fault, that the mm-hmm. customers would call and want to know when I was going to be there, so they didn't have to come in there when she was there. So I would get on about it, and she'd swear she didn't. So when I went away as to a national convention as president of Alaska Beauticians, the students asked me, well, if she do, what should we do? Well, it was a lady on the board that I had taught beauty work in San Francisco when I was in teacher training. They said, shall we call her? And I said, No, she said, shall we call the state board? And I mm-hmm. said, no, mm-hmm. just call Mrs. Burgess. She'll come down and straighten out, because she had worked for, you know. So when we got back, the kids told me that a couple of times she had brought her little nip over there and was putting it in her coffee. And you could always tell when she'd been drinking, her tongue would get thick.
Like my
yeah. The tongue would get thick. So I said, what'd you guys do? They said, we pulled it out and put water in the bottle. And I said, what'd she do when she found out? She said that she watched us like a hawk. so on and so on. And there was other things they did too. But when I came back, I said, I called her and I told her that I was back, and I said, you wasn't drinking over here while I was gone. No, I wasn't. And I said, well, how'd that salt get in your vodka? You and Jimmy, that was her ex-husband, he sure keep tabs on me. So she died in 1967. She got sick up at the apartment, and she had a busted blood vessel in the esophagus. And she didn't realize she was that sick. And when the kids came, they found her in the bathroom, and they took her to the hospital. And Dr. Scheibel was her doctor and my doctor, too. And he said, Eva, when I got to it, was too late. So then I bought the estate out of the beauty school. And I've had it ever since and never had another partner. Mm-hmm. Even though she was a lovely partner, but I just didn't want to go through it no more. Mm-hmm. So I've had it all by myself since then, you know, and worked at it.
Tell me. There's two things I want to know is, do you think it was harder? I mean, it's very hard in Alaska to live for all of us sometimes, and especially for women. Did you find it harder here as a, not so much as a black person, so much as a woman?
No, I didn't find it any harder here than anywhere else, you know. Uh-huh. Well, during the time, even though things are high, you have to just get used to it. But money seemed to be more freely in Alaska,
mm-hmm,
than it was in the States.
You mean people spent more easily, or, yes?
Spent more easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, because the men, a lot of them was working in the bushes, and their wives and four had more money to spend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like outside, what we, I think we were getting for hair work about $350, and then when I started to first come to Alaska and I was working, stayed at Zula's, I got my room free, and then I did the, she had about 10 rooms upstairs, and during that time, the town was wide open for gambling,
mm-hmm,
and stuff like that. And she had mostly bartenders and card players, mm-hmm, that worked at night. Well, they never got up till around 3 or 3:30 in the, mm-hmm, afternoon. So then I did. She allowed me to do beauty work. She had a big laundry room, and I did it in there in the morning, and, mm-hmm, I picked up money. And there was some black people up here, and I used to do the hair, you know. So I picked up money in the morning,
mm-hmm,
and plus, even though she didn't pay me much for doing the rooms, but I got my rent free.
Yeah, well, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I got my rent free, so all I had to do was buy my food.
Mm-hmm.
See? So I worked for her for a long time till I came up here to Fairbanks.
Well, what brought you to Fairbanks? Did you ever tell me that?
No, I don't know. Just someone say, you're like Fairbanks. It's, mm-hmm, a smaller place and so forth. So I came up to Fairbanks, and I did beauty work. And then I had little money because I was drawing my Social Security, mm-hmm, unemployment, mm-hmm, you know. Work, I guess it's workman's comp or something. I don't know, remember what it was. But anyway, I was drawing it, and it helped me a lot. And then I had some money because my sister and I, we had a home we lived in, and we had another building that was 10 rooms and efficiency apartments, and another building behind that. That was 4 rooms and a penthouse on top of that. And we had another building that had 4 floors that we were renting.
Mm-hmm.
So the money wasn't no object, you know. All I just said, I'm going to buy a house, and I got the money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a 7-room apartment we had lived in, so we kept that and we rented that. So as far as the money problem, it's never no problem, you know. Mm-hmm. So I bought a little place, and then for a while I just did a little beauty work, and I got a license again. I had dropped my license, mm-hmm. and I got another license, Alaska license. And there was no black beauty shop, so there was plenty of work for me to do to make some money.
Did you like beauty work? Was it something that you really wanted to do?
No, no. I didn't want to do nothing.
I mean, if you had your choice, what would you like to have done with your life? Anything different?
I'd like to dance, mm-hmm. and been trained in it, you know. But my mother never would. My mother never would train me in dancing. She wanted me to play a piano, and I was determined I wasn't going to play no piano. Mm-hmm. So then I wouldn't practice. And the teacher told her she was wasting the money. So she said, my mother said, well, you don't practice, so don't stop wasting my money. And I said, I don't want to play piano anyway. I'm sorry now, I didn't, you know. But
Well, you did pretty well with your dancing, even though you didn't have any professional lessons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was it. So.
But you didn't really like beauty work, even though you did it all the time. You still do it.
No, my sister wanted me to do beauty work at first. She wanted me to take it from some lady that was from down in the islands, you know, and they. Oh, funny, I couldn't understand her anyway, you know. But she had a shop. She was a West Indian, and their lingo is funny when they talk.
It is, it's a very different
language. Yeah, and half the time I couldn't understand her. And my sister wanted me to apprentice with her, and I said no. So then I went out to the Orient, and I come back, and my sister and I went back home for my mother's birthday, which was March the 20th, and she stayed a while, and then she was married, and then she came back to California, and I stayed in Chicago, and then I took beauty work. I went to school and took it.
So you didn't feel that living in Alaska was really any harder for you than living anywhere else?
No, because in the States, the wages was cheaper.
Uh-huh.
In Alaska, the wages was better,
mm-hmm.
you know. That was the difference. Even though the cost of living was higher, but the wages were better.
You came out ahead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me some of the happiest times of your life.
Mm. Well, I don't think I've had any that was too depressed, only when I've lost a sister in Chicago.
No, I meant your happiest times, the times that the very best times are the times you look back and think, this was one of the nicest things that happened to me, or I was really happy then. Or.
Well, I think that my trip to the Orients, where I traveled uh-huh. 192,000 miles and returned, and all expenses paid and travel time paid, and we only got paid for working days. But then if we travel for 10 days, that got paid, your food bill got mm-hmm. paid, mm-hmm. so that was just like a vacation.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think that is one of the happiest things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come back, I had a couple of offers to go over the offered circuit with someone, and then I changed my mind about it and went back to my husband, and we stayed together for a while, and then I got a divorce, and he acted up so bad till I just decided that I didn't want to get married no more. So I stayed single for 20 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah, well, too, I had my sister was in California, and it was only my brother, and he had his family to take care of. So it left the responsibility for me, for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she had 11 children and raised the last two herself, you know. And I felt as though her life is not going to be too long, so I could take some of the time out of mine and try to make hers happy. So I stayed single, and I didn't get, my mother died in 36, and I didn't get married till 53. I had lots of offers.
I imagine you did.
Yeah, but I didn't want to get married. I just.
You mentioned earlier you did some work for the Democratic Committee here. You got involved in politics here then earlier?
Yeah, I worked for, my husband and I joined the Democrats. We do Bartlett and Rivers and Egan, and we seen them off to go to lobby for statehood. And the Democrat Party, I was on the Central Committee, and I was vice chairman of the Central Committee 2 times, and I was vice president of the Women's Democrat Club. I was president of the Women's Democrat Club, and I was on the Ways and Means Committee 1 time for the Democrat women, and I was on the Ways and Means for the beauticians. So we got together and gave a style show at the Travelers Inn. Mr. Lowe was at the Travelers Inn then. And I took tickets around to the beauty shops, and I said, sell them, because I'm not going to take them back. Mr. Lowe said, the gold room was a big gold room then, and he said, it was a luncheon and a style show and a hair show, and we gave away a $550 for meat stove. And boy, it got so that, and we got all the publicity we wanted, because some of the Republican women were going to the beauty